George Wilder Jr., am I on the air? I don't hear any music. Let me check this out. Okay. Okay, somehow the startup audio didn't start. Let me see if I can start it. The George Wilder Jr. Show is all now right, on the air. This is the Talk About Times. Let's talk, everybody. Broadcasting from Chicago. All right. That sounds pretty good. A little cracking, a little in my earphones. Oh, we've got breaking news. Paris, France is under terrorism attack. Yeah, I mean, if you're anybody about anybody, the more you are, the more you probably heard this. If you haven't, you're probably sleeping or something, or your brain is half dead. But there is a terrorist attack going on as I speak in Paris, an ally of the United States. The president was on the air. I'm pretty sure you probably heard that. I don't have to reiterate that to you, but I probably will. Special report, multiple explosions, shootings in Paris. I mean, it is just deadly. And they're saying that ISIS, the terrorist group, not always Muslim, because ISIS is filled with a lot of people, American people, other people around the world. But basically, it started as a Muslim group. And now they're taking credit for this. And I'm hearing that they had 100 people held hostage. And there's 35 to 60 people dead. That number fluctuates. I mean, I hear the audio behind me. That number fluctuates. This is terrible. And I was going to talk about Chicago violence, but we've got violence all over the world, and we have to address that. Okay, at least 35 to 60 people were killed after explosions and shootings rocked Paris today, this Friday, prompting the French president to declare a state of emergency to seal the country's borders. Wow, that's got to be something. But you know what? President Obama and this French president, just a few days ago, they said that they had a lock on terrorism, that they knew that they were beating it, that they were winning terrorism. But this doesn't look like it. This doesn't feel like it. You got 100 people being held hostage in a theater. And from my understanding, from the reports I'm getting now, that those 100 people have been released. Two of their captives have been shot dead. And but there's still terrorism going on at this hour as I speak in Paris, France. These guys are running the streets. I mean, there was a soccer match going on, and the explosions rocked the soccer match. You know, these guys were afraid. Okay, police in Paris told NBC News that several people had been shot at a restaurant in the 10th district in Paris, and the Associated Press reported that there were fatalities at the nearly Bataclan theater, okay, where about 100 hostages were being held. Like I said before, they've been released, and a couple of their captives have been shot. Terrorist attacks on the unprecedented magnitude are in play in Paris. So everybody thinks it's a terrorist attack, and it probably was. Remember the plane that blew apart in the air over a Muslim country a couple of days ago, and they're saying that it was a terrorist attack, a bomb. And then just yesterday, I believe, this guy, this terrorist guy, this Muslim guy, Jihadist John, was killed in U.S. drone attacks. And they and these killings that were in Beirut, all of these and all of these killings, from my understanding, ISIS is taking credit for. But nobody can really say if ISIS is actually to blame, but they're actually saying that this is terrorism, whether it's ISIS terrorism or Al-Qaeda or some other jihadist or whatever, but they are saying that this is a truly terrorist attack. However, it could be ISIS. It could be ISIS because ISIS can recruit anybody from anywhere. You don't have to be in Muslim to be recruited as an ISIS fighter. You can be recruited in any country around the world. All you got to do is have a social media website or a social website where you guys, where they communicate with people where they recruit people in the U.S. And when a terrorist is recruited in the U.S. from the Middle East, they call that ingrown terrorism because it's an American person in America who's becoming a Muslim terrorist because of ISIS, their influence. But this is something. These guys said they had a lock on terrorism, that they were beating terrorism, that they were winning. This is Obama, okay? And this is a lot of these other leaders around the world. But somehow, ISIS has broken out stronghold. They said, hey, wow, we can get you. We can come after you anytime we want to. And they've killed about 35 to 60 people in Paris, maybe more. The numbers are climbing. You know, so I don't know. So the carnage and the death continues to climb in Paris. This is a shame. The AP reported that two explosions were heard outside of a football team stadium portraying Germany. Okay, this is constantly coming. I'm going to take a break right now to try to dig up something else on this. I'll be right back. Okay, a wave of deadly attacks rocked Paris on Friday, prompting the country to close its borders, like I've just mentioned, and declare the state of emergency. Okay, I'm pretty sure that some of the leaders are around the world and France's allies, including the U.S., are asking, are going to be providing help anytime France wants that. You know, because like I said, France is an ally of the U.S. All right, that at least one gunman opened fire on the, let's say, Petit Cambridge restaurant and the adjacent Caroline Bar, if I'm pronouncing these words correctly, both in the 10th District. In another attack, the Associated Press reports that as many as 100 hostages were being held. Like I said, they're not being held anymore. I'm not sure, but my report tells me that the hostages were released and two of the bad guys were shot. In a theater district, people had been killed there as well. So this is total carnage. This is total carnage in Paris. And it is awful. It is baffling. It is upsetting. I mean, suppose if this all is linked, all of this terrorism, suppose this is retaliation for the killing of Jihadi John from the U.S., And back of me, they're saying that the French president has declared a state of the emergency, which I've already talked about and said and stated. So this is really bad. this moment, unprecedented terrorist attacks are on the way of Paris. Paris is burning, actually. Friday ahead of the meeting, and said the military personnel had been deployed across Paris. Pages posted on Twitter show the bodies in the streets and the aftermath of the attacks. Yeah, there's all kind of photos, man. If you want to see photos, go to the internet, go to any news site. They should have awesome photos, maybe some photos that you can't bear to look at. You know, so if you can't bear to look at them, I would probably say don't look at it, but read the stories. This is Paris, because I think this is important, because terrorism could strike us. Paris is an ally of ours. So President, he was on television today. He was talking about how sad this is, and you know, this is just a terrible thing that's happening. In so many words, he's saying it that way. So, but you know, terrorism, it's a mess. You know, people. I mean, if you probably add it all up, maybe it's about 100-something people who have died in Paris. How did they do this? How did the terrorists commit and perpetrate this crime on a city that swore to itself that they had a lock and a hold and was winning on terrorism? All of a sudden, that's not the case. Innocent people have died. The soccer game that was being held in Paris was interrupted by explosions. So this is beyond Chicago, beyond Detroit, beyond Baltimore, beyond Los Angeles when it comes to deadly terrorism in the United States. And the thing is, we're too busy fighting against ourselves and hurting one another, and blind to realize that there's people all over the country who wants to hurt us, who wants to hurt everybody. They want to hurt the bad guys who are hurting the innocent people. They want to hurt everybody, and we're too busy fighting ourselves. That's crazy. But that's happening. You know, so this is a breaking story. And it's going to continue to break all night long, and I'm going to be in and out with the story because it's very important. People have lost their lives. I realize there's some people out there that don't give a damn about other people who have lost their lives. But I do. I care, okay? I know there's some haters right now listening to this show. I don't give a damn. The hell with Paris. You know, it's good, you know. I mean, it's some people out there like that. If you like that, you shouldn't be listening to this show. Okay, there's going to be a regular update from Washington on the attack. As soon as I get that, I'll bring it to you. And I feel like a journalist, and I'm not, believe me. Wow. A Chicago police officer shoots an individual 16 times, but there's no video of it. So the cop is probably going to get off and lie his ass off and say he didn't do it. 16 times. Why do you shoot somebody 16 times? An unarmed person, an unarmed individual. My thinking is we're going to do some digging on that to find out if this person is an African-American who gotten shot in this city 16 times. The police are just overzealous. They're overbearing. They're just assholes to shoot this many times. I don't know if you heard about the guy who was tased over 20 times by police, and it was caught on tape. Tased until he succumbed. He passed away because of being tased so many times. He was unarmed. And get this, the guy was handcuffed, and the police tased him 20 times. And he died in police custody. These cops are going to hang. And not because the family is suing, and the family is suing, but these cops are going to hang for this. You know, so I don't know. The world has just gone in the hell in a handbasket. And just because you're sitting there in your warm house, your great neighborhood, this is affecting all of us. This is where we live. A terrorist can drop a bomb on us at any time. A terrorist can come by and shoot up Chicago. So no one's safe. No one is safe. I'm not safe. You're not safe. Anything could happen to anybody at any time. on any soil. We all have to be vigilant. This thing in Paris is just awful. I have it all over my screen. It's just awful. Okay. Police official confirmed one explosion at a restaurant near the stadium, the soccer stadium where they were playing soccer while this was going on. Wow. Police in Paris warned people in the city to stay inside. Of course you want to stay inside. You don't want to be out there. But the terrorists, several attacks, they seem to be have been coordinated throughout Paris, throughout the city of Paris. That means that someone actually mapped all this out. These terrorists mapped all this out, what they were going to do, where they were going to go, who they were going to hold hostage, how many they were going to kill. This was a sophisticated plan from the terrorists. They just didn't do this. This was all thought out. This was thought out. Terrorism at its worst. It was terrorism at its worst, you know, because there was an attack in Paris, I think around January, February, where they was the terrorism attacked some newspaper studio for a cartoon or something like that. But this is the worst. This is the worst in Paris. And when it and when there's an attack in Paris, that's an attack on the United States. We have to figure out what we thought we were doing to be secure from terrorism, and we found out that we're not secure from ISIS. If it is ISIS, a lot of people want to say it was ISIS. They want to say it. They really want to say it, but they have no definitive proof that this was ISIS. It may have been. But whether this is ISIS or not, it is truly a factual. This is a terrorist attack. And I say is because it is still going on. People are dying in Paris as I speak, as I talk, as I listen to more reports. People are dying. Not just Chicago violence, but people are dying. I'm going to be in and out with this Paris terrorist attack thing because it's breaking news. It's all over the place. You can't go to a news outlet without seeing this. It's everywhere. And if you got your head in the sand, shame on you. And if you don't care, shame on you. And if you're hateful, shame on you. All right, we're going to take a break. I'll be right back with some more. Stay with me, everybody. Stay with me. All right, let's talk a little bit about Chicago violence. And this is a good one. I've done a lot of shows on Chicago violence. And this is a doozy here. But it doesn't. There's a stretch in Chicago called 79th Street. And 79th Street, you might have heard this, but 79th Street, you know, is a part of, I think it's a part of the Inglewood area in some cases, a little stretch of it is. But I'm talking about East 79th Street. I mean, East 75th Street, East 74th Street, all in that area, the businesses are boarding up and leaving. If the businesses are staying, they're not getting much business. Business is slow. Business is down. Why? Because of the gang banging in the neighborhood. Because of the shootings, the killings. People are not patronizing those businesses anymore because they're afraid for their lives. They're not coming into that. They're not coming into that community anymore. They're not patronizing those communities anymore because of the gang banging, the gang slanging, and a lot of businesses. I just heard this. They're hurting. They are hurting because of all of this. All right, let's go to the phones. All right, caller, go right ahead.
Yeah. I'd like to, as if I didn't know, right? Yeah, I would like to give you a quote, okay? This is a quote from July of 2000, this year, July, just not that long ago, not in the dim, long ago forgotten past, but in July at a press conference. And Barack Obama said this from the White House on that day. It was a Thursday. He said, let me be clear. You know, he loves that phrase. I don't know how many times you've heard it say it, but it's one of his catchphrases.
Okay.
At some point, we as a country will have to reckon with the fact that this type of mass violence has not happened in other advanced countries, and Joe Biden was standing by his side. You know, it's more. No, this actually is not. Actually, in Obama's mind, it probably isn't the same type. It's workplace violence. That's all it is. It's just more workplace violence, like, you know, Nadal Hassan down in Fort Hood. You know, workplace violence. Do you really have any confidence that this enemy alien combatant sitting in the White House is going to really do anything serious about this if it comes here, this kind of thing coming here? He hasn't done anything about it thus far. He'll crow every now and then when a drone strike from a program that was instituted during the Bush administration catches somebody.
You don't think much of Obama, do you? You don't like him, do you?
I despise him with every fiber of my being. He's the worst president in the history of the United States. I say this unequivocally. I can back up everything I just said.
No, I disagree with you, and there's a lot of people disagree with you. I have bones with
Obama,
too.
Well, it used to be Jimmy Carter,
but
I don't think he's the worst.
I think George W. Bush was the worst. George W. Bush lied us into
a war. That's your opinion, and I don't think he was the worst.
No, that's not my opinion. That's an opinion of a lot of Americans.
Well, a lot of Americans agree with me.
A lot of Americans.
So what does that mean? But what I'd like you to do is tell me why you think George Bush was the worst. Then I'll tell you why I think Barack Obama was the worst. Doesn't matter what lots of Americans say, because it may not be true in either my case or yours.
Oh,
but you make your case
as to why Barack Obama is not, and George Bush was. Getting over 4,000 young people killed in the line of a war for weapons of mass destruction that were not there, was not found. Even they admit it now. Him and Cheney should be in jail for war crimes. And I'm not the only one saying that.
Oh, that's funny. So what was the authorization for the use of military force in Iraq all about that Congress voted on overwhelmingly, including the Democrats, and they debated it on the floor of both houses of Congress for almost 6 months? What was that all
about?
That doesn't make it right. The illegal war that you speak of.
That doesn't make it right.
You just used the term illegal. It was the national policy of the United States to effect regime change in Iraq, as expressed through legislation passed in 1998 during the Clinton administration, sir. He was merely carrying out what was official legislative American policy expressed openly in the form of a presidential signature after having passed as a bill in both houses of Congress. Clinton, Bill Clinton, signed that legislation. You want to tell me more about illegal?
It doesn't make it right.
Okay, that's another argument. Would you please drop the word illegal? Please? Okay, say it's wrong-headed.
This is my show. I can say what I want.
Ill-conceived? Okay, you've got an argument. When you use words like illegal, sir, you've got no argument at all because it wasn't illegal.
All right, we can disagree. We can agree to disagree, all right? So tell me what your thoughts about on the terrorism.
I'd still like you to make your case as to why Barack Obama is not the worst president. I used to say it was Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter's safe now because Barack Obama's here, okay? Now, you make your case as to why
he's not the worst president.
You just said the illegal war by George Bush. We just kind of disposed of it. I'll go along when you want to say ill-conceived. Ill-conceived. You got some argument there.
All right.
But
okay.
I'm not going to agree with you on that completely.
You're not going to agree with me anything, probably.
Oh, no. I'm not agreeing on something.
But that's okay. That's fine.
Barack Obama's worst president in the history of the United States. We got total agreement and clarity.
No. He's not the worst president. He's not the best. He's not the worst.
He's the most destructive, and he hates this country. That's what's unique about him, even more than being the worst. The other ones, at least, even though they may have been bad presidents who were bad presidents, at least they didn't hate the country.
George W. Bush.
Patriots. This guy hates the United States. He hates the premise of his founding. He hates the Constitution. And he hates most of the people in it, or at least holds them in contempt. That's the difference with him.
Clinging
to their Bibles and their guns and their religion. He has contempt for most of the Americans in this country.
I doubt that.
That's unique.
I don't think so.
Look, you got to understand. I am so appalled by what I see every day with this creature sitting in the White House. I collect things so people don't say I'm making things up. See, when he says things, I collect them. I don't just let them go past. I take them. I save them from the web or wherever the White House press release. Then I put them in it. So when people say, oh, he didn't say that. Oh, yes, he did. And I give you the chapter, verse, and date. Because, see, I know people just cannot believe twice they elected a usurper like this to office, and he says.
So you are a conservative.
I'm a constitutional conservative. That's what I am. I'm not a Republican.
Okay. All right.
I'm not a Republican because they often don't care about the Constitution either. But I am a constitutional conservative. That's what I am. Please don't call me a Republican, okay? Please.
You sounding like one, okay? You say I sound like a liberal, you sound like a Republican.
Didn't I just say I believe in the Constitution? How does that make me Republican? How many people in the Republican leadership?
I don't know, you tell me.
National Committee and people who are in the leadership positions of the Republican Party. I'm not talking about individual Republicans, many of whom are pretty good on the Constitution. No, I'm talking about the leadership. Too many of them are not constitutionalists. So I'm not a Republican. Please, I'm not a Republican. I don't sound like one. I speak
I'm not a liberal.
Not the Republican Party.
All right, thank you for your call.
You're welcome. But whenever you want to take my challenge, just let me.
All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Taking a break right now. Boy, do I need one. All right. Well, Spike Lee and his movie, he's going to have the first trailer on, what is that, Chi-Raq? I think they changed the date and time for Chi-Raq, November 22nd. And here's a small clip that I'm playing on Chi-Raq.
Chicago was always a violent place, you know what I'm saying? As time go on, it just got more and more violent because the attitude, shit, changed to not.
Yeah, he's right. Chicago has always been a violent place. But right now, Chicago violence is affecting the businesses up and down the streets. Businesses are leaving because their customers are not returning because they're afraid for their lives. What is the mayor and the governor is going to do about this? What are they going to do? This is their city, and people are leaving. They try to tell you that people are not leaving. If you listen to that crap, you're just as stupid as anybody else. They're trying to tell you that people are not leaving. People are leaving because of the violence. It's all over the television. It's on the video. It's on the internet. But people are just, you know, going up to microphones and doing press conferences and say, hey, wow, I got a restaurant that used to be very popular until the gangs came in and scared all my customers off. What am I going to do? I can't stay here. I can't have a business if there's nobody coming in buying. That does not add to the economy. I mean, this is really something. And these guys this morning, they in the city of Chicago, they gave a press conference on gang war in their neighborhood that is affecting their bottom line, their businesses, their paychecks, their revenue, their income. Gang violence is affecting everything in Chicago. And yet we have this superintendent that every time someone gets killed or shot, crime is, he gets on television or he gets on his soapbox and say, crime is going down. Hey, Elizabeth. And he's, crime is going down. Crime is not going down. We just had a great, we just had this enormous terrorist attack in Paris, France. Crime is not going down. You know, we just got to hire people, vote for people with the kinds of plans that's going to lower the crime rate, if that's all possible. Because I don't think I would want a business out there if I couldn't do business because of the gang climate, gang wars. But you know what? The police in the city of Chicago and the police, I believe, in Baltimore, Los Angeles, Detroit, and a lot of other these, New York, a lot of other these high crime areas and these high crime cities, the police departments, especially the veterans on the police department, they know where the gangs are. They know who the gang members are. They know where to find these guys. But somehow they fail to do anything about it. These guys are walking the streets. They're hanging on street corners. They're scaring the neighbors. They're intimidating the people right in front of the police officers. And the police officer, they do nothing. Well, they're gangbangers, but they have rights. They have no rights if they're a gangbanger. They have no rights if they just shot a 16-year-old kid or a 6-year-old kid. There's no rights. They have no rights to stand up on the damn street corners and intimidate and scare people, making people walk around them because they're blocking the sidewalk. They have no rights. This is what those people on 79th and in those crime neighborhoods are talking about, gang wars. Would you want to go to a restaurant where you got to walk around a bunch of gangbangers to get inside? No, you would not. Nobody would. And this is what's happening in some parts of Chicago. And businesses are up and going, especially the small businesses. And the most popular businesses in Chicago, they're not popular anymore on certain sides of Chicago, like the west side and south sides of Chicago, because that's where the most of the gang activity prevails. And These people are pissed off. They're fed up. They're saying, hey, wow, we can't do business. People won't come to our restaurant. People come from our restaurant from the suburbs, from the north side, from out of town. They're not coming to our restaurant anymore to get the food. And my workers, that my employers, they have nothing to do because, you know, everybody's being scared off because of the current gang climate that the police is doing nothing about. They're doing nothing about it. The mayor, Rahm Emanuel, all he talks about, if he talks about the populace, he's talking about tourism and the businesses coming to Chicago. They'll tell you all about businesses coming or relocating to Chicago, but they'll never, ever tell you about businesses that are leaving Chicago. They don't want you to know that. That's something they don't want you to know. I'm pretty sure that it's more businesses leaving Chicago and more people packing up and leaving Chicago because of the crime, because of the budget stalemate, because there is no budget in Illinois, because of the high taxes, you name it. Many good reasons to leave Illinois, and people are leaving. Those are great reasons. Some people say, George, why are you still here? I don't know. I don't know. Well, anyway, this is the George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. This is Friday night. I know you guys are out there. I know you're listening. And I know that you will be archiving the show once the show is over. And I know you guys out there are really, really feeling it for those people in Paris, France, who have been killed by terrorists. We don't know if this is ISIS, but a lot of people are trying to say it's ISIS. We have to try to deal with it some kind of way. You know, we're going to, I mean, that could have been the United States. Who knows? That could have been the United States. We have to be vigilant. And the president of the United States, I don't think he's the worst guy ever. Like I just got through saying, I don't think that, and a lot of us do not think that. And there's no one in the world that's going to change my mind of that. He's not the best. He hasn't done a lot of things I wanted him to do. He hasn't done, but he's not the worst, believe me. And I think George W. Bush is the worst, and I'm not the only one thinking that. All right, this is George Wilder Jr., George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. And it is, I think, is it cold outside? How is it cold out there? How, Denver? Huh? Frigid. Okay. Okay. He says it's frigid. I guess that means cold. It's 6:39 in Chicago, straight up Central Standard Time. We have no guest on the show today. I'm supposed to be expecting a guest tomorrow. She's an author. She has plenty to say, I'm assuming. But I love having guests on the show. It's that one-on-one rivalry that I like, and that's a great thing. I'm going to take a break right now. Okay, let's see if we can find – let's see. I got all this stuff here. All righty. Okay. Here we go. No, okay, all right, here we go. All right, stay with me, everybody. Stay with George. All right.
every time I see that 807, I say, oh my God, I don't know.
We're back. Sorry for the dead air. Sorry for that dead air. Let's see if we got anything here. Let's see. Okay. Okay, we're going to be in and out with that terrorism attack that took place in France. We're going to be in and out with that terrorist attack with France. There's breaking news. It's always something breaking. Always something breaking around here. I've learned that the news is always, there's always something on the news. There's always something happening to make it news, no matter what. Sometimes when I, you know, come to get on the radio, get on the internet radio show, and I'm saying, wow, I got to go try and dig up something I'm going to be discussing on the radio. And it's always, and I always say, hey, wow, it's always news out here. There's always something to report. There's always something to say, because news is being made every day, every day. And sometimes so much news is being made, you don't have time to talk about it all. You just have to try and pick the things that you want to say because of the time constraints that you may have. But I want to talk about Donald Trump, and this is insane. If anybody saw that video where he was talking to a group of kids yesterday, and he was standing at the podium, I mean, this guy, I mean, he talked for 90 minutes, and the majority of that time he was criticizing things in Ben Carson's book. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people saw that. If you didn't miss anything. I mean, Donald Trump, Donald Trump is crazy. This guy, I mean, Donald Trump is crazy. This guy, if you just saw it, you probably would probably, if you saw this video and you were a supporter of Donald Trump, I would probably think you would reconsider your support. This guy is a nut. I mean, I don't know how to describe it. It was just so awesome and so childish and so bullyish and he's such a blowhard. I mean, that's no way. There is no way I'm endorsing Ben Carson, because Ben Carson is a liar, a serial liar, and he is totally unfit for the president of the United States. So is Donald Trump. Donald Trump proved without a doubt during this segment yesterday, 90 minutes, chastising Ben Carson. He's not fit either. Basically, a lot of us remember, can take away from the thing with Donald Trump yesterday, that he called Americans stupid. He called Iowans stupid. He was in Iowa. He called people stupid. And I hear a lot of that all the time, people calling other people stupid. Sometimes I call people stupid. But Donald Trump called the entire state of Iowa stupid. He called all Americans stupid. These people don't know how to not generalize. They don't know how to do that. You know, I have a feeling, I didn't see the speech, I saw parts of it, but I have a feeling that what he was trying to say is that Iowans were stupid to believe in Ben Carson. He was saying Americans were stupid if they believed everything in Ben Carson's book. But it's just the way he said it and how he said it and the way he projected it on stage and the way he was just, ooh, he was just so animated. You'd have to see it. You know, he was in Iowa. And one of the reasons I think he was so animated about seeing the chops of Ben Carson was because Ben Carson was either out in front or tied with him. And he's pissed off that he's not the front runner anymore. You know, so okay, here we go. Last night in Iowa, doing a 96-minute speech, Donald Trump told Iowa's voters that those who supported Ben Carson were stupid. He said, if you supported Ben Carson, you were stupid. I would have got offended at that, because they're not supporting him. They're stupid. My thing is, if they are supporting Trump, they are just as stupid as they were supporting Ben Carson. Just as stupid. Donald Trump is a bully. Donald Trump is a blowhard. Donald Trump is a liar. He's trying to bully those people who are for Carson, bully them to come over and support him instead. I just hate bullies. I mean, I grew up with them in school, and I just can't stand them. And how old is Donald Trump? Maybe 50-something, 60-something? I mean, the worst thing in the world is adult bullies. Bullies, like I was telling my son the other day, bullies come in all sizes. They all come in all sizes. Adults. The worst kind of bullying that adults do to other adults is probably in the workplace. But Donald Trump is just awful. What can I say? He's just awful. I mean, I saw a clip of this guy during that Iowa scene. And he was pulling up his pants, and he was just a mess. He was so animated. I mean, it seemed like you could snap your finger and just turn him off just by snapping your finger. But this guy was a mess. I think he lost some support. I really do think he lost some support. If he didn't lose any support, the only people that are stupid are the people who are supporting him. And I do think they're stupid if they're supporting Ben Carson, because Ben Carson is not fit to be president. He's not fit to be president because he doesn't have a clue. He is a liar. In some cases, he admits that some of the things that he said and stated in his books are fallacies. So he is not one that is good for the truth. Neither is Donald Trump. Donald Trump don't know jack about nothing. You know, he doesn't know anything about nothing. Republicans, they hate children. Republicans, they hate workers. Republicans, they hate veterinarians. They hate vets, period. They hate Americans and they hate democracy. And Donald Trump is one of them. He's a mess. If you've seen Donald Trump, he was even awful on when he was on television, The Apprentice. He was awful then. You know, I couldn't stand him then. The only thing you heard from his mouth is, "You're fired." That's the only thing I've ever heard him say on the show. And I never watched the show because I never liked it. To me, it was like Donald Trump belittling other people who were on their show, and they was taking his guff. I guess they were getting money out of it for some reason. I don't know. But Donald Trump is a mess. And I would think that because of last night, he's lost even more, not just support, but he's lost his mind. He's lost his mind. Even Robert Reich said that. The guy lost his mind. And when I say Robert Reich, I'm talking about the economist who worked in the Clinton administration way back when. I mean, he's a Facebook friend of mine, so. And he said, not just Robert Reich, not just myself and not other people, but the America is saying, man, this guy is a mess. Who is Donald Trump? Maybe we found out yesterday. The guy don't know the first thing about issues like healthcare, the economy, you know, gun control. He knows nothing about those things. Foreign policy. He knows nothing about that because he doesn't know how to talk about those things. Only thing but Donald Trump knows how to do is bully other people. He's going to bully himself into the White House. And it could happen because a lot of dumb people out there may vote for him. And I can't help to say call people dumb because Donald Trump is dumb. So if dumb people's voting for dumb people, you know. So I'm not a liberal, but I do not want a Republican in the White House because I don't think not one of them is qualified. I said this in other shows. Not one Republican is qualified to be in the White House. Now, on the Democratic side, you've got Hillary Clinton and you've got Bernie Sanders and you got this other guy, O'Malley. I think O'Malley is completely out of the race because he's not getting much attention. A lot of attention is being paid to Hillary Clinton. Either Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders would be a bright spot in 2016 for president. Even O'Malley, he's a long shot, but he's a Democrat. Anything would be better than a Republican. Anybody would be better than a Republican. I mean, God damn. You know, sometimes watching these Republican debates are really, really hard to take. Really hard to take. But this fourth debate, I've heard that this fourth debate was a lot better than the other three. And the Democrats, I think I'm hearing they have a debate coming up in a couple of days. And the Republicans, they have another debate in about 30 days or something like that. But anyway, the Republicans, they have more debates than the Democrats, which I think is crazy. This is how the Democrats lose. The Republicans got around 9 or 10 debates. The Democrats should have 9 or 10 debates, you know. But this is how the Democrats lose. They don't fight. They're spineless. They don't know how to rebut the Republicans. When the Republicans throw mud at them, they don't know how to throw the mud back, and they lose like that, you know. So, but still in all, the Democrats have the right messages. The Republicans, I don't know what planet these people are on. A lot of us do not know what planet these people are on. They're sure in the hell is not on planet Earth. Maybe on Pluto. I don't have a clue. But anyway, this is George Water Jr. of the George Water Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook, Block Talk Radio, LinkedIn. I'm on Google. I'm all over the place. Check me out on Amazon.com. Check out some of my work. You listen to this show, you miss a show, you miss a hell of a lot because I try to put everything into the show. We don't have a guest today, but I'm having a guest tomorrow, and she's going to talk about her work and what she does, and I hope that enlightens my audience a little bit. I hope it enlightens you to call in. 347-857-1762, George Water Jr., George Water Jr. Show. We got to do a little break music here, and I will be right back. Stay with me, everybody. Thanks for being here. All right, a little bit more on Trump, because he was totally animated last night in Iowa. And I'm not going to talk about it anymore on any more shows. This will be the last time I say anything about Trump on this particular subject in Iowa, because if you haven't seen it, you should check it out. I mean, you probably in its entirety, 96 minute long. Last night in Iowa, doing a 96 minute speech, Donald Trump told Iowa voters that those who supported Ben Carson were stupid, are stupid to believe the crap that is in his life story, and compared Carson's self-described pathological temper to a disease like a child, like child molestation. The guy is nuts. He's a, you know, Donald Trump is a psychopath, not a sociopath, but a psychopath. He's a nut. If you're a child molester, a sick puppy child molester, there's no care for that. Okay, they're quoting him. I don't really want to read any of his quotes because they're stupid and they're dumb, just like he is. He's more stupider and dumber than the people who you're calling stupid and dumb. Trump has already established himself as a bombastic blowhard. This is what Robert Reich is saying. But this particular attack is so bizarre that it tips the scales into just plain weirdness. He's calling it weird. Trump is not only a presidential candidate. He is nuts. This is Robert Reich saying this, okay? And I totally, totally agree. Trump is a nutcase, and he wants to be president. He's too crazy to be back on The Apprentice. I don't think he's going to win. Give me a break. This guy's a nut. But but there's so many people out there who are insane enough to vote for this guy. There's people out there insane enough to vote for Ben Carson just because Ben Carson is what? Ben Carson is Ben Carson, no matter how much he's lied about everything. But we, the American people, we want our politicians to talk about gun control. And we don't want them to say things just because they think we want to hear them. Because a lot of politicians do that. They say things because they figure it's what we want to hear. And then once we sucked into voting for them, they don't know us anymore. They don't. All right, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show. Join me tomorrow. My special guest is, I have her name here somewhere. She may be listening now. Who knows? Okay, let's see if we got her. Let's see. All right, tomorrow is, let's see. All right, here we go. Tawana Lawler. Tawana Lawler. She's an author, playwright, poet, screenwriter. Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot. That's quite a bit. She's an author, playwright, poet, and a screenwriter. Wow, that's great. I can't wait to talk to her. I can't wait to see what she has to say, and I want her to be sure to give my audience something that they can learn or they didn't know, something they didn't know that they can know or they should know. And that's what I try to do when I have a guest on the show. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. You have the George Wilder Jr. Show broadcasting live from Chicago. Make sure you check out my books, my work on Amazon.com. It's quite a big, it's a quite a library of stuff that I've done on Amazon. Most of them are ebooks. I don't do the paperbacks or the hardbacks anymore because I don't have any room for them in my apartment. So I just go for the ebook so you can just download it, and that's just simple as that. All right, let's move right along. Let's move right along, and we're gonna have to keep those people in Paris who've their city has been flooded with terrorism, and I'm pretty sure things are going on as I'm on the radio as I speak. Maybe more people have died. I don't know what's going on. But I do know this. In the next few days, in the next few weeks, all kind of information is going to be dripping out of Paris into what happened, who's responsible, and how to stop this from happening again. Terrorism. The world has to find a way to put a tight grip on terrorism. You know, because, but it's hard. It's hard. One of the reasons why terrorism is hard to get a grip on, because let's just take America, for instance, out of all these other countries that are in the world. Just take America, for instance. And you probably noticed ISIS can recruit anybody from anywhere in the world just by on social media. You know, they can do a lot of recruiting. You know, a person doesn't have to get on an airplane and fly to Syria or to fly to Iraq to be a part of ISIS. They can be recruited right here in the U.S. And once after they're recruited online by ISIS, they are now willing and able to take out, to do violence in their own country. Where they are located, taking instructions from ISIS from overseas, Iraq and Syria. And this could happen in any country. I just used the United States. I just used America for an example. And it's weird. And I'm sitting here and I'm talking about Chicago violence, but hey, but whenever I talk about violence, I'm talking about violence of any kind. You know, it doesn't have to be Chicago violence, but the reason why I was stuck on Chicago violence is because the businesses are hollering that they're not making a profit because of gang wars in their community. The gangs are keeping the customers away. And that's one of the reasons why I'm talking about Chicago violence today, tonight. But violence is a worldwide phenomenon. We're talking about gun control. You know, we have to go further than gun control because we have terrorism all over the place. Terrorism does not always have to be gun control. I mean, you got people going around carrying knives and swords also who are committing these heinous crimes with swords and knives and hammers. So it's not always guns. Violence behests violence. Violence gets violence, you know. And we really got to do something about it. I mean, it's all over the place. It's everywhere. And I'm pretty sure that the violence in Paris is a wake-up call for every nation around the world, for every country around the world. Step it up on your borders. Check out, check the people out who's coming through your, coming, you know, through your borders. Because I believe Paris, France, has closed its borders. Maybe they should have closed them in the first place. Maybe this wouldn't have happened. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe this is ISIS. Maybe this is not ISIS. But we do know that it's a terrorist attack, period. 60 people dead. 100 people held hostage. And the mayhem just keeps on going in Paris. As I sit here, as I talk, as I'm about to get off the radio in about 20 minutes. And I can tell you this. This is the weekend in Chicago. This is the weekend. Two things I'm going to expect once I get off the radio. Crime to go up in Chicago. ISIS or some terrorist group in Paris where the carnage just keeps on growing and rising. There's going to be more coming out of it. Because every journalist that is a journalist is somewhere docked in Paris, France, trying to be the first one to get the big story. But this is a big story in itself. This is a gigantic, monumental terrorist attack, ally of the United States, Paris. Paris has always seemed to be the, most people thought Paris was like a romantic state. It was a great destination. A lot of people just dreamed about going to Paris. Paris meant love. Ah, garbage. Fiddlesticks. We have to find a way to stop the violence. Not just in Paris, but all the... And I'm pretty sure the violence is not going to stop because I'm saying stop the violence. You know, but the violence is going to be here long after I'm dead and gone. Nobody will ever know. George Wilder Jr., who is that? All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We'll be right back. Let me see if we got any different kinds of clips here that we can do. Okay. All right. We'll be right back. Stay with me.
All right,
picture of Trump in front of me. He looks like he's giving the finger to the rest of us. I think he is giving the finger to people. He said, you stupid ass people voting for Ben Carson. How stupid can you be, Iowans? That's crazy. You don't call people stupid that, you know, supports you. I mean, because they don't support you, you call them stupid. That's crazy. You know, I mean, that's stupid. I mean, but you know what? People have been called stupid for a long time, you know. And most of the time they're calling people stupid who vote against their own interest. You know, just because you vote against your own interest, you know, I don't think you're stupid. I think you're just misguided or you don't know, you're low informational, you know, stuff like that. But if you get a chance, check it out. You know, check out Trump from yesterday in Iowa where he was calling people stupid because they, you know, support Ben Carson. Man, man, man. Okay, in Chicago, child shot. I think I said this at the beginning of the show. A child shot 16 times. I have to get more information on that by a cop. And there was some video yesterday on a police officer's, I mean, three or four police officers tasing a guy who was handcuffed. They tased him 20 times. And they even tased him some more when they threw him into the squad car. They tased him again. And when they got him to where he needed to go, he was dead. And the thing about it, when the police were tasing him, they were tasing him in front of a hospital. I mean, they could have took him into the hospital and had him checked out, but they said, hell no, we're going to put him in the car, and we're going to taser him some more. And now the guy is dead, an African-American. He's dead. Now his family is suing. And I think they should. And I think some of those cops who tased them 20 times should be fired. That's crazy. I mean, we got some overzealous police officers. I mean, they shoot child. I mean, we bitch every day about police brutality. And police get fired. They get disciplined. They go to jail. However, they keep on doing it. They keep on doing what they should not be doing. Obviously, these cops aren't trained well. They, some of these guys, these women, these cops, some of them get hired. They have mental problems. They're mentally ill, and they're hiding it from the hiring manager, or they're hiding their illness from human resources, the people who in charge of hiring them. And then they go nuts when they get out on the street. I don't know. I mean, and they're talking about hiring more officers in the city of Chicago. Oh, boy. Oh, my goodness. We're going to have more carnage, more officers going to jail. There's going to be more lawsuits against the city of Chicago and its police department for police brutality. Because a lot of these cops think they're macho. They think they're tough. They think because they're a cop, you better get out of their way. You better do what they say. You're going to get tasered. You're going to get shot. You're going to get thrown in jail, you know. So, I mean, a lot of these, and don't get me wrong, I believe there's some good police officers out here. But the good police officers become bad police officers when they do not turn in the bad police officers. Good police officers know when they're working with a bad officer, and they should turn it in. I'm pretty sure that's part of their curriculum for being a police officer, to turn in a bad cop before he gets out there on the street and shoots somebody and the department gets sued. There is more. There are so many lawsuits pending in Chicago for violence, unnecessary violence against, you know, people. It's a damn shame. The city's going broke. But the money that they settling these suits with, taxpayer money. Taxpayer money. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Check out my stuff on Amazon.com. It's great stuff. Okay, we were talking about, I don't want to talk no more about Trump. I don't want to give this guy any more publicity than he needs. because all the publicity that he gets is just is crazy. The guy's nuts. He should be nowhere near the White House. Because of his animation in Iowa, he should have lost support. But we'll find out in a few months if he lost some support. He should have lost more support. Okay, and I do think Ben Carson should lose some support for lying. He's a serial liar. And have you ever seen him? I guess you have. He looks like he's falling asleep sometimes when he's doing an interview, especially when he's sitting down doing an interview and the camera's right there up in his face. The guy looked like he's falling asleep. And he's so mild-mannered. He's so soft-spoken. You almost have to try to hear him, you have to kind of turn the volume up on the television set to even hear him because he's so soft-spoken. And he believes what he says. He's a neurosurgeon. I've heard people say, well, he works on brains. Maybe he should work on his own brain. But anyway, I mean, there is no doubt about it. I mean, this crop of Republican guys and girls who wants to run for office, they're not qualified. They're not qualified. They're not. Marco Rubio looks presidential. Rand Paul looks presidential, but they're too far down in the polls for anything. Jeb Bush, he's finished. He's gone. Jeb Bush was the man, but somehow he's gone because his support is just waning. He's down there in the single digits when they come polling. So he's out of there. He's gone. And Donald Trump is just a mess. Yeah. So a Democrat would be the best choice. Because Democrats are the only adults in the room. The only sensible people in the room. The only intelligent people in the room. The smartest, the brightest, Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, Mark O'Malley. These are smart, intelligent people who talk about the issues. The Republicans, they talk about the issues. They gloss over the issues. But like I said, the fourth debate wasn't bad. They talked about the issues, but that don't mean that they're going to implement them once they are elected. These guys, if they're talking about the issues, they're pandering for your vote. They're pandering to get elected because once they get elected, like the first thing they're going to go after is health care. The second thing they're going to go after is Planned Parenthood. Maybe the third thing they're going to go after is Social Security and so on and so forth. So you have to be careful and you have to vote. We just got to vote. I mean, there's no doubt about it. We have to do that. If we don't do that, we're going to be in big trouble, more trouble. Let's see what we got. All right, we're going to take a break right here. Stay with me, everybody. Listen to this. We got it? Yeah. He is torn his up apart. You listening to me or you watching television? Oh, different. You think you can do this radio show?
Open eyes.
That might be
radio.
You know how to do it like this? You know how to work the clips on?
To follow.
All right, I'm gonna let you do it.
I love you in peace.
You just cannot get over here
and let on.
Too much work for you. Your autism ain't gonna let you do that. All right, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show. Sorry for the break. All right, I was just speaking with someone. So, Donald Trump. It says right here, what do you think? Has Trump self-destructed? Yes, totally. All right, we got 5 more minutes into the show, 7:25. I think it's about 35 degrees outside, Chicago time. This is George Wilder Jr., 347-857-1762. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being there. Thanks for downloading the show. Thanks for archiving the show. Thank you for your feedback. Thanks for calling. Thanks for everything that you do. Thanks for sitting back and just listening to the show. Thanks for your Facebook remarks. Thanks for being a friend. Thanks for downloading my books and enjoying them. All right, who are we listening to? Let me see. All right, here we go.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Oh, is that right? Is that right? Is that right? Okay. All right, we were talking about Chicago violence taking a toll on the city. It is taking a toll on this city because businesses are packing up and leaving because of the gang violence are scaring away or have scared away customers. I mean, you can't operate a business without any customers. You can't have a business without money coming in to pay your overhead, the bills. So there's no other way but to relocate. And that's bad for Chicago. I mean, it looks like the stretch of 79th Street going east, that looks like a third world zone. It does. I haven't been over there in years, but by all looks of it from a video and pictures, it looks like a third world country. Poverty on top of poverty and then more poverty. you know, people who have left, who have left that community, they left it because they could afford to go. They left it because they want to stay alive. You know, they left it because they want their kids to stay alive and to grow up to be something and not be shut down like dogs. So that stretch of 79th, East 79th in Chicago looks like a war zone, a third world kind of a thing. Poverty, poverty, poverty. And I remember, I think I remember once Obama saying something about war on poverty, just like Lyndon B. Johnson had in the 60s. It didn't work, and I don't know, war on poverty is not going to work. Republicans are going to make sure of that. But we just got to do something. We got to do. Okay, someone said 90 seconds. We just got to do something about this violence. You know, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just wasting my time talking but about violence. But, you know, it's something I take to my grave with me, trying to help solve the violent problem in Chicago. All right. And the world. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. We are off the air right now, and I hope you people join me tomorrow and on into the weekend. All right, thank you so much. Goodbye, everybody. Thanks. Gather that material, write it down what you're going to talk about. You got to get you some index cards. Once you show it to me, then I'll get you over here and I'll show you how to do this, do the studio. Other than that, you don't show me nothing, or you don't do nothing. It's up to you. You don't have no ambition. You want to sit on your ass over there and shoot them people down.